a special edition of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm here with, as usual, with Craig Wilson. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
So it was quite an eventful weekend. I took quite a lengthy drive up to the other side of Rustenburg to go and have an interview with Roy Padiachi, the Minister of Communications. He was hosting, together with Deloitte, a conference on creating jobs in the ICT sector, and I managed to sit down with him for 15 or 20 minutes to record a podcast interview, which we're going to append to the end of this particular podcast. But I managed to get in some questions about fiber to the home and what his views of FTTH are, and whether Telkom should be involved in building fiber into the home. And I won't give away too much of the detail, but we're going to add the interview at the end of this. But it was an interesting conference, and I unfortunately didn't have a chance to go up on the Saturday to attend more of the conference. But it was, you know, a lot of the industry leaders were there, guys like Peter Ace from Vodacom, Carl Pina from MTN, Pinky Moholy, the CEO of Telkom, Atul Gupta was there, the head of Sahara Computers, and also the head of the New Age newspaper, and various other industry leaders, Centec, SABC, etc., etc. And they were really there to talk about how to create jobs. Obviously, it's one of Jacob Zuma's top priorities is job creation, and they're talking about potentially, without giving away a lot of detail that I could see, they're potentially talking about creating a million jobs in the ICT sector, a million new jobs in the ICT sector by 2020. One of the most interesting commitments that came out of this thing is that they wanted to deliver 80% broadband penetration by that time as well, and 100% internet access to South Africans. I presume that means coverage and not actual usage.
Right, I'm not actually on it, yeah.
But yeah, they're talking up broadband in a big way, which prompted my questions about fibre to the home and the necessity of that. And the minister was very keen on the idea, but less keen on the thought of intervening at Telkom and telling them that this is what they should or should not be doing.
Right, and actually sort of legislating or making it compulsory.
Yes. So we'll add the interview with Roy Padiachi at the end of this interview. But interestingly, about 5 or 6 minutes into the podcast recording, we were sitting outside at this lovely resort at the Royal Bafokeng Sports Palace in Rustenburg, and about 6 or 7 minutes into the interview, you'll hear a helicopter landing next to the area where we were recording, and I'm not 100% sure, but it was either Craig Fenter, the CEO of Eltek, or Atul Gupta landing in their helicopter and heading into the meeting. I said to the minister that I'd cut that bit of the podcast out, but he said, no, leave it in. So
right.
Why not? We'll leave it in. Good. Let's chat a bit about some of the other big stories that have happened over the last week. One of the more notable ones, I think, was the news that AfriHost, the internet service provider, is buying Access, another internet service provider, based down in Port Elizabeth. And so consolidation in the ISP market, and the AfriHost is saying that they're doing this to really start to get the economies of scale in a competitive market where prices are constantly falling.
Sure. And nice that they've been able to do it without any problems. They said they got it past the Competition Commission without any.
Well, apparently it doesn't need the competition approval,
right,
of the Competition Commission.
It's not applicable. Well,
not obviously not material enough to warrant an investigation by the competition authorities. But an interesting deal, and AfriHost is continuing to be quite aggressive. I think we're seeing pretty aggressive price competition between themselves and MWeb at the moment. I know that they recently introduced a top up. We here at Tech Central use an AfriHost connection, capped connection, I must say. But they offered top-ups towards the end in the last week of July, 50 gigabytes of data for 149 Rand. Obviously, that expired at the end of last month.
Sure, but, which is quite phenomenal. And, of course, when we say capped, it's probably worth mentioning that it's a 50 gig cap.
It's a 50 gig cap.
It's fairly sizable. But, yeah, another 50 gigs for 149 Rand is just astounding, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on the package, that's... you know, if you're using that sort of data to start with, it's incredibly cheap. I mean, you know, you can work up the per meg rates for yourselves, but it's absolutely phenomenally cheap.
Yes. Yeah.
And Access, I've long been a fan of Access as a service, actually. They were
prepaid.
Yeah, they were, as far as I know, one of the first to offer a prepaid voucher-based data system back in the day.
Yes.
And I used to use it quite extensively.
Yes. Cool. I think this is worth mentioning or chatting a little bit about BT. They made some interesting... they actually didn't make an announcement. But there's speculation in the market about what they're planning to do here. BT has been in this market for a long time, obviously through their global services division. But Craig, you picked it up. Where was it? It was at a submarine fiber conference.
That's right, a submarine fiber conference at Sandton Convention Center last week. And as you said, it wasn't an announcement per se. BT were actually there, or one of the representatives was there talking about their success in the United Kingdom in terms of providing fiber to the home services and like, because obviously BT was in a very similar boat to Telkom, being the sole provider of infrastructure and voice and data services or fixed line services in the UK for a number of years. And he was actually just talking about how they had to make the transition to essentially become a reseller, and they sort of sell services in a large way. Aside from providing them themselves, they sell them on to other providers. And towards the end of the speaker's talk, he made mention that BT had plans for Africa, and then when pressed on it, said that there were plans for South Africa specifically, and that we'd be getting more information in the coming weeks. So we'll obviously keep an ear open for that.
So subsequent to that, I actually had a conversation with BT, and they're holding a press conference just before the annual Gartner symposium down in Cape Town. I forget the exact date, but it's later this month.
I think it's around the 20th or so.
Somewhere around there, yeah. And I'm expecting that they're going to make some sort of announcement there. The rumor is that they're doing some sort of deal with FiberCo, which is the national fiber network that's going to be built by a consortium consisting of Cell C, Dimension Data, and Convergence Partners.
Right.
It's not. I doubt we're going to be seeing BT announcing some sort of fiber to the home or fiber to the business sort of offering at this stage. But but it looks like it's going to be some sort of national fiber backhaul investment that they're going to be making. But it's quite exciting. BT has just been in the services game in South Africa, so it'd be great to see them playing in the infrastructure space as well.
Absolutely, and as you said, hopefully it will lead to other more drastic changes in due course.
Yes. Now, speaking of infrastructure, Telkom is. In fact, I had a conversation with Pinky Moholi, their CEO, at the Padiachi event over the weekend, and she indicated that they're going to be investing quite aggressively in DSL over the next couple of years. She's talking about a 3-year investment plan to ramp up their investment in metro Ethernet fiber technology, and also to increase the speed of DSL. I was specifically asking her whether Telkom needs to look at an FTTH program, fiber to the home program, and she said that there's still life left in copper, and they're looking specifically at ADSL2 plus technology to deliver higher speeds to end users. We know they recently increased the line speeds of their 512 kilobit per second customers to 1 meg, and have been, where they can, they've been upgrading the 4 meg service to 10 meg service. And I'm guessing with DSL, they're going to be able to offer speeds of 20 megabit per second or more over time.
Sure, we can only hope. And also, hopefully, we'll provide a boost to their 384 customers, who unfortunately didn't see any increases last time around when the other higher accounts or higher speed lines did.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is one of the challenges too. As you said, we're even limited here at the Tech Central offices by what the exchange or...
It's not so much the exchange. I think this area is capable of 10 megabit per second, but it's the actual copper cable in the area that's of poor quality.
Which just isn't up to the task,
unfortunately.
And as there may well still be life in copper, there is the ongoing debate about how much it's worth to continue to sink money into copper infrastructure, and how whether it's worthwhile to maintain it on a long enough timeline when it is eventually going to be obsolete one way or another.
Yes.
But there are those who say that there's another 20 years in it, and in fairness to outlying areas where copper, there is an existing copper network,
and
improved services will at least go some way to bridging some of the sort of access divide.
And Telkom does have to squeeze out more speeds out of its copper cable infrastructure, because they are getting competition from the mobile operators, which are constantly upgrading their networks to higher speeds. I mean, absolutely, they talk about 42 or 43 megabit per second network. You're not going to get that in reality, but if you're in a well-covered area, you already can get speeds in excess of what's of even the fastest copper-based DSL connections.
I was going to say, I mean, even a third of those theoretical top ends are still faster than what you can get on terrestrial copper.
Yes. of course, DSL is still cheaper if you're a big bandwidth user. So
absolutely, yeah, and that's the one of the main areas that it remains competitive against the growing mobile.
Definitely, yeah. But Telkom is going to have to do something on the fiber side sooner rather than later, I think, especially given that there's competition coming in the forms of companies like i3 Africa.
Sure, yeah, and as you said, if they don't move on it, someone else will.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to keep the podcast pretty short this week because of the extended interview we've got with Roy Padiachi, which is coming up right after this. Just a few more comments. I think I should have mentioned at the beginning of the podcast about this this conference. It was really a meeting of industry CEOs. I was a little disappointed that there was no sort of representation from startups and from venture capitalists and the guys who are really going to create jobs. You know, sure. Companies like Telkom aren't going to really create all the jobs that are needed in this industry. In fact, companies like Telkom need to shed some jobs to remain competitive in the space. And you know, it's the real job creation and growth in this industry is going to come from innovation and from startups and from, and I think that perhaps this conference, and I must emphasize, I was only there for a short period of time, but perhaps there needs to be more engagement between the minister and the guys who are investing in the space, you know, companies like Remgro and Venfin, etc., and also some of the startups. There's a lot of activity going on in Cape Town, and I think it'd be useful for government to get a view from some of those startup companies as to what they'd like to see to help them grow their businesses and create jobs in the process.
Absolutely.
But they're promising a half-day follow-up seminar in September, and they're also going to have breakaway groups of these CEOs to talk about various issues in the industry about what needs to be done. So hopefully something positive is going to come out of this, and it's not going to be just yet another talk shop, which we've seen far too many in this industry.
Sure, and hopefully next time they won't make you go to Rustenburg.
Yeah, it's a long drive, I must say. I thought it was closer. Other side of Rustenburg, Nochal, it's right.
Sure.
Good 20 kilometers. We're about 30 k's outside of Sun City. But beautiful place.
Sure.
If you ever get a chance to go there. It's called the Marang, M-E-M-A-R-A-N-G, I think, hotel and conference center.
Well, if they do have it that far out, maybe next time we'll just have to send you in your helicopter.
Yes, the central helicopter, yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, we're gonna cut our regular show there. We hope you find the interview with Roy Padiachi interesting. And as always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za. From Craig and myself, until Friday, have a great week. Cheers.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like taxis and rush hour.
Ah!
But we do give a hoot. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and box-to-box calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN. Lowering the cost of doing business.
I'm here with the Minister of Communications out at a beautiful estate in Rustenburg, and the Minister's been meeting with industry leaders for the last 3 days to talk about growth in the ICT sector and specifically how to create jobs. Minister Padiachi, can you give us a quick overview of what's been discussed here and what the outcomes have been?
Well, thank you very much, Duncan. And let me take this opportunity of also saying it's indeed a pleasant experience here on the estate in Rustenburg. I can imagine that the English football team would have enjoyed staying here on the magnificent grounds of the Royal Bafokeng Palace. What we've been doing here the last 3 days is that we've successfully mobilized the top captains of the ICT industry. And as we said in the budget speeches that we made in Parliament, our assessment is that the telecoms market in South Africa has grown from 130 billion in the year 2007 to what we estimate to be about a magnitude of 179 billion in 2010. Now, we estimate that the ICT sector will grow beyond the 187 billion with a possible figure of about 250 billion by the year 2020. Now, in order to get to this figure of 250 billion, a market cap of that size, we have three options available. If we remain where we are and become laggards in the ICT sector in the world, globally uncompetitive, with our efficiency declining and continuing to fall behind the rest of African countries, we will take the low road. If we decide to change our way of implementation, both in government and in the private sector, and be a little bit more creative than what we are, we have the opportunity to take the middle road. And that middle road would mean then that we would, in 2020, achieve a figure of just merely 239. But I think the commitment that we've got from industry here in this workshop, that is the captains of industry, is that South Africa must consciously choose to walk the high road and to create this highway to achieving 250 billion rands and beyond by the year 2020. And that's the commitment that the sector has given. And it's defined for itself. And when I say it has defined for itself, I mean that the captains have got together in the room with the chief executives of the parastatals within the ICT sector and have said to themselves that their purpose in meeting here today is to develop an innovative and globally competitive ICT industry, an industry that would accelerate the development and prosperity of all South Africans. So, by 2020, the leadership here have accepted that South Africa must have achieved 100% broadband coverage, 100% internet penetration, with at least 80% of the population with having access to broadband. Now, in order to achieve these targets, some very significant commitments are being made in the House today. For example, what the leaders have said in industry is that the following areas will form the basis for a collective 2020 ICT sector strategy and action plan for competitiveness and job creation. And the strategy needs to ensure the implementation and realization of specific targets over the next 9 years. I think what we're seeing is one of the helicopters of one of the captains.
I'll cut this out of the podcast.
We should not.
Sorry?
We shouldn't. No, you shouldn't.
So what are some of the steps that the industry has agreed to implement to get this done?
What he's saying is that the strategy needs to ensure implementation and realization of a specific targets over the next 9 years. And top of the list is human capital development to ensure that ICT skills requirements in the economy can enable South Africans to effectively participate in this digital economy. Then the question of the creation of investment capital to fund the large-scale infrastructure that's required to achieve the targeted access and penetration levels. In particular, the focus on the funding and promotion of small, medium, and micro enterprises and the funding of innovation. So I think what's being talked about here is a venture capital fund for small entrepreneurs in the ICT sector and how we leverage such a fund of putting together private sector and public sector capital to get it. We're thinking of the establishment of a Digital Opportunities Foundation, which would look at supporting micro to small SME development. Then our manufacturing capacity needs to be enhanced to significantly increase local content and to leverage global best practices to stimulate the manufacturing industry. So we're looking at the set-top box, we're looking at the revitalization of the electronics industry. And we're looking at the development of digital content. You know, we're going into the new broadcasting arena now, broadcasting policy review process, which would create opportunities for a multi-channel television kind of set up in the country, and we think that local content production is going to be quite important there. So local digital content will need to be increased considerably, and to ensure that the opportunities for applications development in the film industry and the digitization of government services becomes a reality. E-government services, e-education, e-health, and so on. So there's a commitment that we must try and make at least 90% of public schoolings digitally literate. So what the workshop is now finalizing is the tangible commitments in each of these pillars that they would commit to from now to 2030. What we've agreed is that we will go into a process of establishing implementation working groups with the sector so that we can measure ourselves over the next 2 months to see what progress we're making in actual implementation. And in September, we'll have another half a day session where we'll monitor that with a view towards reporting in the government January Lekutla on what progress we've made on meeting the presidential commitment to job creation for 2011.
Okay. Now, has there been any discussion here about the role of the private sector versus the role of the state in growing the sector? What are your views on that particular subject?
I think it's been the centerpiece of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the feedback we've got from the leaders of the private sector is that this is the first time in the history of this sector that they're beginning to feel that they're part of the same team, driving to create a vision that they are themselves owning.
Mm.
So it's not just government establishing what this has to be done. It's the private sector and government in partnership creating this working together that is driving the process. And that's really encouraging.
What is your personal view of what the role the state should play?
I think it's the only way we can go. You know,
yeah.
I've been talking to many other leaders of industry in other countries in the world, and it's clear that it's that kind of collaboration that is going to deliver us on a much better road than what we are today.
What do you see though as the role of the state-owned enterprises that fall under the DOC's portfolio, namely especially Centech, I would imagine?
I think that they have a very strong facilitating role to play. We don't think that the entities within our control are going to deliver all of the opportunities. There's ample room for the private sector to come in. And what I'm looking for personally is this creative partnership between smart capital and good government. And I think we can do it.
The commitment to rolling out internet access to 100% of the country's population and broadband to 80% of the country's population, that was by 2020. Will that mainly be done through wireless, or are we looking at fixed line as well?
I think we're looking at a combination of methodologies, yeah? We're looking at a combination of methodologies. And the trick that we have to do is to get fiber into the homes.
Yes. I was at a conference, in fact, this week, organized by FTTH Council Africa, where they were talking specifically about the urgent need to bring high-capacity fiber infrastructure to people's homes because of the fact that the copper technology is a legacy technology and is going to be superseded by fiber technologies over time. But we see Telkom, for example, saying that it doesn't make sense to do a wide-scale fiber-to-the-home implementation. And a lot of guys in the industry are saying that it's difficult to roll out fiber because it's difficult to get rights of way and get permissions from municipalities and from different government entities, etc. I know that government still owns approximately 40% of Telkom, which gives you some sort of sway over the organization. Is there an argument, do you think, to have some sort of intervention to build a national fiber to the home network in South Africa? And could the Department of Communications be driving that with the view to job creation?
Well, I think it's certainly one of the projects that we are putting uppermost in our agenda. We are looking at a collaboration that might emerge out of Centec and InfraCo, broadband, with private sector players such as Telkom and others. And we want to try and see what the synergies are to make that happen. Because we think if we can leverage InfraCo's network that it's building and leverage on that Centec and give an opportunity for other telcos to come to the party, then we might have a way of bringing everybody together.
Mm. Is there not an argument, do you think, for Telkom, which is sitting with this large legacy copper infrastructure, to invest in a multi-billion rand project of this nature? I know in the UK we saw BT spinning out Openreach and investing heavily in fibre to the home infrastructure as a private enterprise. Do you not think that it's time for that a company like Telkom, which is well-resourced and can raise capital in the markets, to go out and build a network of this nature, given how important it is for the economy and for South Africa's future development?
I think there's a very strong and compelling argument for that view.
What is your view of it? I mean, would you support something like that? Would you use government's leverage over Telkom, your 40% stake, to apply pressure on Telkom to get involved in a project like that?
Well, we have to be careful here, because the private institutional investors in Telkom are saying government should sell and should not unduly influence the direction that the company should take. But we would want to encourage them to do that because we think it's very important and it's needed for the economic growth of the country that we bring fiber to the home.
But do you have the leverage over Telkom as government to insist that they...
I think if we do articulate our position really strongly, they would listen. They would listen.
Have you had that conversation with them?
Not yet. Not yet. But we're talking on other things with Telkom,
yes,
that I think can be quite significant, both for the industry,
yes,
and for the country as a whole.
What are those things?
Well, I think maybe what we should say is that we are very interested to want to know what the investors, institutional investors in Telkom, have been saying. Mm-hmm. Our CEO in Telkom has been on this roadshow internationally talking to investors, and their views are very important. And the message that we are getting as government is that government should stay a little distant from being too directly involved in the internal management of Telkom, and we want to respect that. think that's an important message that we want to respect. We are developing what we consider to be important policy objectives of government, and we want to leave it to the board of Telkom to ensure that the commercial sense of what we are saying must be executed by their judgment in the management and implementation. And Telkom, I think, is going to surprise people.
All right, sounds interesting. I think we're going to be chased away soon, but just last question, in terms of what needs to be done to meet these goals that have been set out or are being set out at this conference this weekend, what policy and regulatory interventions are going to be necessary?
Well, that's not yet clear in the focus of the conversation. The focus of the conversation is on what it is and defining what it is that we can actually achieve. Whether regulatory strategies are necessary to assist in that process, we will see that after the commitments have been defined a bit more sharply, which we expect by 12 o'clock today.
Great. Mr. Padayachi, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Duncan.